Hello. Welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. We're pleased to have you join us for the program.
So the God that you worship will determine the kind of life you're building. If you worship a God of wood or stone or of your own imagination, you'll become like the God you worship. That's what the Psalms say. So it's important to understand that the God we worship is a God who speaks. God speaks.
God says that he will be our God and we will be his people. He's our God and he's a hands-on God. He's involved in our everyday and the most intimate parts of our lives. What do we know of our God? Tonight, Dr. Corbett continues in his exploration of who our God is. Tonight's topic, God speaks.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know you can speak. We know you can speak right into our soul. Now, Lord, over these next few moments, speak into the heart and soul of every person here today. Help us, oh God, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at a short series on our God. This is the second part that we're going to deal with. And we're going in a moment to look at how God speaks. If you have a concept of God that he created the world, set it up much like a watchmaker, set an automatic watch, and that watch is just ticking away, and that the watchmaker has gone away. That's called deism, by the way, D-E-I-S-M, deism. And if that's your view of God, you won't bother praying, because who are you going to pray to? Because your concept of God is he's not around. And your concept of God is that, in that sense, any problem you have to try and work it out. That's deism. If you have a concept of God that he is high and exalted and lofty and he's there and he's awesome and he's majestic and that's your only concept of God, you may fall into the trap of thinking he's not interested in the mundane. You may think he's not interested in the small problems that you and I face each day. If, on the other hand, you have a concept of God and you don't get that, I think you have to hold that and the next thing I'm about to say in both hands, and that is that God is imminent. That is, he's near. He's near to those that he's created. And this God is someone who cares deeply about every aspect of life, and he doesn't see a sacred, secular divide. He sees everything as sacred. We read in Zechariah that the prophet Zechariah said, there will come a day when the pots and the pans will have etched on them, holy to the Lord. You see what the prophet Zechariah is saying? He's talking to the new covenant, by the way. The prophet Zechariah is saying, even the mundane things such as cooking will be done to the glory of God. Even the mundane things like washing will be done to the glory of God. And if you can understand that God does care about the little things, he does, then hopefully that will inspire you to pray. Because if you pray and you ask God to meet your needs, and he does, he is glorified. He is glorified. So God invites us to pray to him because he's the God who is near. And there's five things I think that are really important to know about God, our God. Firstly, he's our God. He's not just the God, he is the God, but he's our God. There's a call all through the Old Testament, the part before Jesus came, where God says this: if you want to come to me, we must form a covenant together. A covenant is an agreement. God is not interested in casual relationships. He's interested in covenant relationships. And a covenant relationship is where you make an agreement. I give you my life. And God says, I give you my life. We say, I give you everything I have. He says, I give you everything I have. And there's a part where you exchange names. That's where Abram and Yahweh exchange names. So Abraham, he took the Y-A-H, dropped the Y, but it's the A-H, and put it in Abram, and he became Abraham, the one who belongs to God. And God became, from that point, known as the God of Abraham. And there's a sense in which covenant is the only basis upon which people can know God. And God, when his people wandered away, as we've been looking at through the book of Jeremiah, we see God saying this: you said you would be my people, and you said I would be your God. And the sense of a covenant is where you can utter these words: I am yours and you are mine. In the new covenant, that is exactly what we've done with Christ. He's not just God, he's our God. We're in covenant with him. There are blessings associated with covenant. And there are five things that being in covenant means. Firstly, God speaks. He speaks to those he's in covenant with. Secondly, God saves those. In fact, you must hear the voice of God in a sense of hearing and receiving something from God before you can be saved. God calls you and saves you. Thirdly, God heals. This past week, I have had four testimonies of people who have been instantly healed. Instantly healed. One was a young man who had hearing loss in his left ear, had 10% hearing in this ear, was prayed for, and he said it just went pop. He'd had it for years, and it went pop, and he could instantly hear, instantly hear. The other one was a lady who suffered from a condition where she was prayed for and was instantly healed. Another condition, I asked someone last night who was prayed for last Sunday about their prayer need, and they said healed, gone, fixed. God heals. God heals today. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, Acts 10:38 says, he went about everywhere healing the sick. So healing is a part of being in covenant relationship with God. God delivers. And we're going to see in a few weeks that whatever problem you have, God is able to deliver. The word deliver means to rescue, to get you out of. God is able to deliver you. And there is a spiritual sense in which God can deliver you from things that have got a grip on your life. And finally, God blesses. And this is the one we looked at previously. God blesses. And we need to understand that when you are in covenant with God, God blesses you. He blesses you. And we saw that one of the very first things that we see in Genesis chapter 1, the opening chapter of the Bible, is that when he created man, in fact, not, it is the first thing he did. When he made Adam and Eve, it says, and he blessed them. And so there's a strong sense that when we're in covenant relationship with God, there are benefits that come with that. Many of us can testify to each of these. I know that when I was 15, I was not saved. And I know that after praying a very short, almost just, there wasn't anything flowery about it, wasn't anything particularly religious about it, but I prayed a prayer asking God to save my soul. And my life changed. I didn't see thunder, I didn't see lightning, I didn't see a hand writing on the wall, I didn't feel angels, wings, feathers down my back. But something changed, and my life has continually been changing since that time. So God saves, and we'll look at that a bit later on as well. So today I want to look at God speaks, and I want to hopefully set you free from some of the bad stuff that's been taught about this, and I want to help you to perhaps have ears that are better attuned to what God wants to say. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 1. It says this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So I just want you to hear two things in that verse. It was at many times that God spoke. I've heard people say God is continually speaking. Mostly it's women who say that because they have a concept of, quickly, if I just say it quickly and just keep moving on, no one will sort of react to it. But because there's a concept that God is always, and if you just attune, you can hear God speak. No, there are times when God is silent. There are. The scripture says that. Scripture says in relation to his dealings with King Hezekiah, God became silent to test what was in Hezekiah's heart. So there are times when God speaks. See, it says God spoke at many times. The point there is that there were times when God was speaking. So there may be times when you are wanting to hear the voice of God and God is not speaking. God is silent. Notice the other thing too. It says he spoke at many times and in many ways. Many ways. God spoke in many ways. And I'm going to raise this as a question in a moment. How does God speak? Because if you think, well, I've never heard God, thinking that it's an audible thundering from heaven, I'm going to hopefully set you free from that very limited way of thinking about this. How does God speak? God can speak through art. In fact, it was Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, who was a man who was just living life however he wanted. He was a Czechoslovakian count, and he was living the kind of life that a young man with good looks and plenty of money could afford to live. And he went to an art gallery in Paris, and he saw a picture of Christ, just the face of Christ that an artist had painted, with a tear coming down from Christ's eyes. And he looked at it and it gripped him. It gripped him. And he left that gallery and prayed a prayer of repentance to God and became one of the greatest Christian leaders in the history of the church from a picture, from a painting. Many other people have experienced the voice of God through movies. That's a part of art. Many people have been touched by the works of some of the great artists and have had their ears attuned to something God is saying to them. Art, in its various forms, whether it be media or whatever. Audibly. Some people hear the voice of God audibly. My dad tells the story, and he'll be here next week, and so you can verify this with him if you would like to, that on his honeymoon, he and my mum were towing a caravan, and something happened where the caravan started to jackknife on the highway. Now, that's probably not a good thing, and he panicked. He did not know what to do, and he says at that point he heard the audible voice of God tell him straight away what to do. He did it, and the whole thing leveled out. And you can tell my dad he was dreaming, but you're probably not going to get very far. And other people have heard an audible voice. So God can speak audibly through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. Now, I know that there are people who say the Bible is really just a book of history. It's a book that's kind of ancient and it's old and that's about the only value. It's only there to stimulate you intellectually and that's about it. I've certainly read this and had the kind of chill go down my spine as I've read it, and it's felt like, oh my goodness, this is written to me right now. For right now, this is written to me, and I've read this and I've gone, that just answers the questions I was battling with. That gives me the direction I was looking for. This is God speaking to me right now. You ever felt that? So God speaks through the Bible. These are some of the ways God speaks. God speaks through books. You can read books. In fact, I did bring a book up that I would recommend you to read. This is called The Whisper of God. And in this, he actually talks about the thing that I'm talking about this morning, about how God speaks. And he quotes in the opening account of this, Job chapter 26, verse 14, "Lo, these are the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" And in this, F.W. Borum, and you can pick these books up, they're $1,450, that's $1,450. It's a collector's item. It was published around 1902, I think, or 1898, somewhere in there. So for a meager $1,450, you can get your own copy of this. This is the Whisper of God. Put that back down here by F.W. Borum. And in there he talks about the whisper of God. He says his power thunders, but his voice whispers. And so when I read that, and I was reading that first article there, that first essay that he wrote, I felt God speaking to me through that. God can speak through books. God can speak through creation. You ever gone and seen a majestic sight in creation, and you've just stopped and gone, wow, that is really beautiful. Kim and I did a walk through Fraser just 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you can't help but do that. You look over, you're coming down to Wineglass Bay. I think at one point Wineglass Bay was voted top 3 beaches in the world just for beauty. I don't know about for swimming, but for beauty, it's magnificent. And then you go up through there and you just stop, and it's breathtaking, some of it. And you just see, well, if this is the handiwork of God, and what he creates is beautiful, what does that tell us about him? That he must be magnificently beautiful. But sometimes we can hear things and sense things, the voice of God speaking through creation. More often, more commonly, Scripture talks about God speaking to people through dreams. In fact, you could make a pretty strong case that God speaks through dreams probably more than he speaks through anything. If you look at Scripture, if you did a survey of Scripture, you would see dreams were profoundly used by God. So sometimes, I'm sort of jumping ahead a little bit here, but it may be worth praying, oh God, let me dream a dream tonight. Remember, I dreamt a recurring dream some 25 years ago, and it was so clear. I dreamt, and because it was so clear, and because it was so profound on my life, you've heard me tell this story many, many times, but it was the dream where I was a single man and thought I'd be single for the rest of my life, and I dreamt of a girl, bleached blonde hair, and I saw her in her home, and I heard conversations that were going on, and then I saw her in other parts of Melbourne at the time where I was, and I'm watching this in vivid detail, and I looked at her face, and I saw a face, and I saw earrings in her ear. That kind of struck me, just the earrings and the number of earrings she had in both ears, and her blonde hair, and then I thought I heard her name in the dream, which is a bit of a worry because I thought I heard her name was Ken. And then it was about, and I told people at work, I said, look, I've been having this really weird dream. It's about this girl. She's got 4 or 5 earrings in each ear, and she's blonde hair. She's about da da da. And I'm seeing things about her life. And I mentioned the dream before I even ever met, you'll be pleased to know, Kim. So I can see things pretty clearly in dreams. My dream hearing is just not as polished. And so when I met Kim at this overseas Christian fellowship at Deakin University, she walked in as someone who was not a Christian. And she walked into this meeting where I had said, do you mind if I play guitar? And and I was packing my guitar up that night, and on my way out to the door, between me and the door was the only other Australian there, and it was Kim. Now, I don't see a lot. In the whole night, I hadn't really looked at her. You know, it's that whole task. It's one of the weaknesses of being someone who can get things done. You tend to not focus on what's around you a lot. And at the end of the night, I've packed my guitar up, I'm walking to the door. Between me and the door was Kim. I've got my guitar in hand. I looked at her in the face, and I went, and you just, every guy, listen, you don't say the first thing that comes into your head when you see a girl that looks rather pretty, because the first thing that came into my head was, you're the girl of my dreams. Oh, yeah, right. Now, has that worked often, has it? It's like, but I'm looking at this, I'm going, earrings, blonde hair. But I'm being cool about it because, you know, as you know, that's not hard for me because I'm pretty unco, as my kids tell me at most of the times. But and I said to her, look, I don't know if this means anything to you, but by any chance, are you going through this in your life? Next thing, she burst into tears, slumps to the floor. Now I've got a crying girl. And I'm a task guy, right? Like, crying was not on the to-do list, you know? It's like, so I sit down with her and I just kept sharing stuff that I saw in the dream. And she's just bawling. And I next day, I go home. I go through where I used to live in Geelong. And I said to my sister, I've just met the woman I'm going to marry. Because I figured if God put her in my dreams, he must want to put her in my life. I mean, the logic wasn't real good, but I didn't care. And anyway, 18 months later, we were married. So God speaks through dreams. They're not always that dramatic, but he can speak through dreams. And you notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. So God speaks through Jesus Christ. You want to hear God? Read about Jesus. Hear what Jesus did. Hear what Jesus said, and you'll be hearing the voice of God. Next thing, music. God can use music. And in this church, I've got art and the music. We could argue that they're kind of one and the same thing. But I'll separate them because God can speak powerfully through music. And we want to really redeem the arts in this church. We want people to offer up music as an act of worship to God and have God use that music. God can speak through a song. You ever heard a song and you've heard the voice of God? God's spoken to you, ministered to your soul through music. Music is a powerful thing, and we see that actually in the Old Testament, where Elisha asked for a musician to come to him. And when he had the musician playing, he began to hear God. So music, it's biblical that God speaks through it. Songs, when we sing songs, God speaks. Sing songs to one another, Scripture says. So God can speak through songs. Thoughts can pop in your head. Now, just time out for a minute, especially blokes. Not every thought that pops in your head is necessarily from God. Now, women need to understand this because they ask this horrible question of a guy. What are you thinking? Well, it's dangerous. It's deadly because the answer may be nothing. And women go, oh, yeah. And it's like, I'll let you on an insight. It actually is. It is possible for a guy to do a whole bunch of stuff without thinking. That may be a newsflash to a whole bunch of people, but not every thought that pops in your head could be God, but it could be. It could be. And as you begin to learn the voice of God, you begin to sense, hey, I think God has put that in my thinking. And you begin to hear the voice of God through thinking. Visions, you know, sometimes you just bang, see things. Sometimes I get an impression and I see things. And I shared with someone this week, I was on a Skype call with someone and we were talking about God speaking, and I said, you know, this is what I sense God is saying to me right now. I sense God is saying that the church is like a bus, and you know, the bus has got a brand on it. There's a particular brand of the bus, and at the front of the bus there's a destination, and the bus has got a whole bunch of people on it, and mostly they're all pretty happy to be going where this bus is going, to have the bus driven the way it's driven, and to be a part of, you know, this bus. And I said, sometimes churches like that. And then again, there are sometimes when people are on the bus and there may be one person who's not laughing, not enjoying the trip at all. And so sometimes the bus has to pull over. Sometimes the door's open. You don't ask anyone to leave, but someone says, hey, I think I might just get off. And maybe when the bus comes around again, they go, actually, that wasn't a bad bus. I actually do want to be on the bus in the open. And on they get again. But sometimes you pull the bus over and people get on the bus. Because God has called them on the bus. And I'm sharing this with this pastor. And he said, wow. And I'm going, well, yeah, well, okay, it's wow, it's profound. Yeah, it's like, well, you know. He said, no, you're not profound. Oh, okay. He said, what you just said I spoke with a businessman yesterday, and he was talking to me about our church, and he used the exact analogy you just used just yesterday. The bus, the brand, the destination, the people, the pull. He said, I think God is using you to say something to me right now. So God can use visions. He can speak through visions. God can speak through preaching. Preaching can convey the voice of God. God can be saying something through prophets. You notice Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. Prophets. In fact, here's the second most common way. Dreams are the most common way God spoke in the Old Testament. Prophets are easily the second most common way God spoke through the Old Testament. Through prophets. So prophets and dreams. The two probably the most common ways God spoke through the Old Testament. Okay. In Psalm 115, God is contrasted with false gods. And the one thing that causes God to stand out being different is God speaks. And the psalmist says, these statues of wood and stone and metal, they don't speak. God speaks. God speaks. It's the one thing that separates God from false gods, that he speaks. The same thing is reiterated in Psalm 135. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Is there any breath in their mouths? Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. So the God that you worship will determine the kind of life you're building. If you worship a God of wood or stone or of your own imagination, you'll become like the God you worship. That's what the Psalms say. So it's important to understand that the God we worship is a God who speaks. God speaks. And God actually invites us to hear his voice. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. But today, if you will hear my voice. See, God invites people to hear his voice. How does God want to speak to you today? God invites us to hear his voice. And when Jesus Christ walked the earth, he gave the clearest representation of the voice of God. He made it very clear that he was speaking on behalf of God. But not only that, Jesus said this, it's better for you that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit who will come. And it's through the Holy Spirit that he has now come on that day of Pentecost. He has filled this earth. It is now available to every person to hear the voice of God. So we can hear the voice of God. Jesus Christ has made it possible for everyone to hear the voice of God. How does that happen? It begins when we come to him. When we come to him. When you give your life to Christ, you become a candidate to hear the voice of God. In the closing book of the Bible, we see seven times from chapter 2, verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. That's a curious thing. He who has an ear. Well, what are these things? Painted on? What are you talking about, he who has an ear? What am I, Vincent van Gogh? What are you talking about? Like, you may need to understand that. He cut his ear off. Anyway, but he who has an ear. Well, what's it talking about? Obviously, it's not talking about these ears. He who has an ear, listen. There are spiritual ears that every child of God gets. There's a way of hearing God where you have to let that happen. Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. And we want to let God say what he wants to say. And so hearing God begins on his terms. So, knowing that God speaks, knowing that God invites us to hear him and hear what he's saying through the various ways he can speak, I hope, firstly, that we will learn to hear what he's already said through the Bible, and that we'll understand that God speaks primarily still through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. That's why it's really important to read the Bible every day. Secondly, we should open up our spiritual ears by seeking, praying seeking prayers. God, I want to hear you. God, speak to me. God, change my heart. God, help me to be the man or woman that you want me to be. God, lead me. Make it clear to me. Those kind of prayers, those are seeking prayers. And if you do, God will, because God knows how to speak to you. And if your ears are open, you'll hear what God is saying. Thirdly, knowing that God speaks and God can speak in different ways. I remember I was in Shepparton and I used to go in every week to the high school there. And this was a pretty rough high school. There'd been, I think in the previous year, a murder and a suicide, and this was a rough school. And I went in there, and I went in there with my Bible, and in a lunchtime just put a notice up that I'll be going in to talk to anybody who wanted to come to talk about the Bible. Not really kind of, you know, not offering computer games, not offering anything like that. But eventually we had about 30, 40 kids come in. It was mainly because I also learned that if you buy $20 of fish and chips and come in. So I said, if you want to be a part of it. No, actually, it was $10. In those days, $10 got you $20 of chips. And I took it in, and they had lunch and five questions, and we talked. And I talked one day about how God, if you don't know there's a God, if you doubt there's a God, then why don't you put it to the test? Pray this: God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me, speak to me. If you're real, prove it. I think that's a reasonable prayer to pray. Taste and see. Psalm 34 verse 8. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Well, the next week I came back and some of these guys came in and they said, you're not going to believe what happened to me this last week. And they all started to share stories of how God had been speaking to them. And I didn't need to do any more convincing. They began to experience that God speaks. So we can pray for people that need to know God, that they would hear God, and we can almost be assured that God will make himself known. God will speak. God knows how to speak today. We can hear his voice. Let's pray. Father, for those that have been struggling with direction in their life, perhaps looking for you in one direction, in one way, perhaps thinking the only way you can speak is this particular way, I pray, Lord, that now our ears will be let open, that we will let our ears hear what the Spirit may well be saying to us. Now, Lord, if there are those here listening to me right now and they've never surrendered to you on your terms, perhaps they've been trying to do life on their own, perhaps they've been trying to live life without you, I pray right now that something would warm in their hearts that says, oh God, please, come into my life. Help me to live for you. I'm sorry that I've not allowed you in my life. Now I want to live for you and with you. I pray. And Lord, I pray for us as a church that we might have a heart that is open to what you want to say and what you want to do. I pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice saying sweet things to us that we can respond to. I pray, Lord, that when you say hard things to us, we can respond as well. Holy Spirit, speak in Jesus' name. Amen.
Has that been your understanding and experience of our God? Dr. Corbett continues next week with more of what we know of our God. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Our God Part 2, God Speaks, are available from Lagana Media. You can contact us at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277, or via the website findingtruthmatters.org. If you'd like to subscribe to the monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.